turn in your Bibles today to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. You know, interestingly enough, we have here the account of the mother who had an oil well in her house. The mother who had an oil well in her house. That sounds rather strange, doesn't it? Well, let me show you something. Let's look at this passage of Scripture, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Chapter 4, we'll read through verse number 7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what is thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we come to you in prayer today on this Mother's Day, and our Father, we're so thankful for the host of mothers that are out there today. We thank you for all of the mothers that are part of this church service. And our Father, we thank you for our mothers individually. We thank you today for motherhood. We rejoice today in the good service that we've already enjoyed. Thank you for the music this morning that's reminded us of the Lord Jesus, and it is truly still Him. And then, our Father, thank you for the song that Rachel just sang that reminds us of that special mother's love. And now, Father, I pray your blessing upon the preaching of the Word of God. Pray that this message will be a blessing not only to mothers, but to everyone that's here today. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll notice in the reading text that the oil that was poured into those vessels that came from a very skimpy supply, it kept flowing, it kept flowing, it filled all those vessels, and I take it to mean, at least I believe this, I believe if that lady would have gathered 1,000 vessels from the neighborhood that day, I believe the oil would have kept coming. I believe this is the case here of a mother who had an oil well in her home. Now, all right, I've already proven my point, hopefully. Now let's get on into the message. I suppose that you could say, as we look here at this account of Scripture, you could say that this mother here, this lady here, was a preacher's wife. Now, why would we say that? Well, she happened to be the wife of one of the sons of the prophets. Now, the sons of the prophets, the son of the prophet here in this case, would have been what we would think of as a seminary student. In other words, the sons of the prophet, they're training for ministry. They're training for prophetic ministry. And this particular son of the prophet, we see here that his wife, she is threadbare. She has nothing in her house. She's in a strait. She only has a small amount of oil. But God blessed this mother here, as we see here in this passage of Scripture. Now, I believe that Elisha probably would have known him as a student. You know, Elisha here, of course, this is the time of Elisha. And more than likely, Elisha probably knew this particular son of the prophet, this particular prophetic student. Now, here's something that's interesting. Back at that particular time, when instances like this took place, let's say a family was threadbare, if someone couldn't pay their debt, like the case here. Actually, what happened is under the law, Leviticus chapter 25, if a person died with an unpaid debt, we know that the creditor came to collect, of course, and the law at that time allowed the creditor to take the children as servants. If you read Leviticus chapter 25. Now, Elisha steps in on the scene and he remedies the situation. Here's what he saw. He said, he gave instructions. He told this widow and her children, her sons, to go out to scour the neighborhood and to find as many empty vessels they could and to bring those empty vessels back, those pots back. And here's what I find to be very interesting. When they come back, they bring all those vessels, they get back to the house. Now, there's something else that's interesting. What are they to do with them? Well, they're given instructions to take those vessels, go inside a room, close the door. And with the door closed, that's when this miracle took place. It was done in secret. It was not done publicly. It was not done before the eyes of people. It was a secret miracle. Here's what I see here. The lady didn't have anything to start with. Just a little bit of oil. What kind of oil was it? Probably olive oil. I mean, what would have been more valuable at that time than olive oil? Olive oil was marketable. You could take olive oil. You could sell it. You could... excuse me, I'm sorry. You could sell it. You could anoint with olive oil. You could also cook with it. It was valuable stuff. That's what it was. It wasn't tin. Motor oil. Rule that out. Here's olive oil. I remember when I was a boy, back in the days when I lived as a child, why, sometimes we burned bulk oil. Any of y'all hear bulk oil? We didn't have enough money to even buy regular oil. We'd go and buy this bulk oil that had been, it was oil, used oil, actually is what it was. It was used oil, refined a little bit and cleaned up a little bit, and we used that. Anybody want a handkerchief? I know it's a sad story to tell. But anyway, olive oil was precious stuff. They could take it. They could market it. And so obviously this widow lady only had a small amount of olive oil. They bring the empty pots back. They go back in the room. They close the door. She takes that vessel that she has with that small amount of olive oil. She pours it into those vessels and it keeps on coming. It keeps on coming. She fills every vessel until the oil well stops. The increase of oil, get this point, the increase of oil was in proportion to her faith. It was in proportion to her faith. How much oil did she collect? She got the same amount of oil to cover the amount of pots that she gathered. The increase of oil was in proportion to her faith. Also, let me point out the miracle was worked behind closed doors and in the presence of believers. You see, the world would have marketed the occasion if they'd had an opportunity. She had enough oil, when it's all said and done, to pay off her debts and then to live on. What do we have there? Well, we have a miracle, don't we? The increase of the oil, that was a miracle. And God gets the credit for it. I'm going to tell you, God broke through and blessed this dear widow, this mother's household that day with a rich miracle. What can we say about this mother? You'll notice several things about her. She was a down-and-out mother. She was a down-and-out mother, but that's not the worst thing in the world, is it? She was a down-and-out mother. That's not the worst thing in the world. Do you know that poverty is not the worst thing in the world? I'm talking about material poverty. You know there's something worse than material poverty? You know what it is? It's spiritual poverty. There's a lot of people that have a lot of things materially, but I'll tell you one thing, they're bankrupt spiritually. You're better off knowing God, serving God, and having nothing financially than to have everything in this world and to be lost without God. This woman here was a down-and-out mother. But I'll tell you one thing, God used her background to do a great work, didn't He? Number two, we can say something else about her. She was a distressed mother. She was facing sorrow. She had lost her husband. And she was facing scarcity because at this point of time, her oil was running out. And she was facing possibly slavery. Because again, the Old Testament law allowed when a creditor came to collect and you didn't have the money to pay him, that it's possible your family could wind up servants. She was a distressed mother. Her sorrow overwhelms us. Think about that for just a moment. She was a preacher's wife. And here she's going through this extreme sorrow. It just doesn't seem right. She's a preacher's wife. Why would bad things like that happen to good people? Well, I'll tell you, bad things do happen to good people. But behind it all is a loving God who still knows. And God still takes care of His people. We think of her sorrow. We think of her scarcity. Only a small portion of oil. Not much, but it was sure valuable. It was valuable. I see a good principle there. What she had wasn't much, but it really was valuable. Could I make a point? The world looks at God's people. They see what we possess. I'm talking about real possessions. I'm not talking about houses and cars and things and material things. They see what we possess and they think, they're thinking many times, boy, that sure isn't much. That person doesn't have much. In the eyes of the world, it doesn't look like a whole lot. But I'll tell you, in the eyes of God, it's pretty valuable. Can you put a price tag on a testimony? Can you put a price tag on knowing God? Can you put a price tag on being a mother that raises your child the godly way, the biblical way, and gives them instruction and lives a good example? You can't put a price tag on that. I'll tell you, moms and dads, you're better off to give your child an example of a Christian testimony and a godly lifestyle than to give them everything they want materially and that be all you give them. Some things in life more important than even putting a child through college or making sure that they have a nice automobile and all those other things. And I'm not against those things, but it's a matter of priority. The world looks at what we have and they say it's not much. But God looks at it and He says it's pretty valuable. It's pretty valuable. This lady witnessed a greater miracle because her means were small. Look what she would have missed if she would have been well off. Look at it like that. If she would have been well off, she had missed the miracle. If she had already had all that oil, then she wouldn't have seen that miracle occur. I'll tell you what, little is much when God's in it. When God's people are brought to the end of themselves and even their resources, that's the time oftentimes that God steps in on the scene and does something majestic and does something mega and does something great. God takes a nothing and makes it into something. It's when you and I are pumped up with pride and everything's going right and we have everything that we need. That's when many times we think we don't need God. But I'll tell you, when our oil runs out, then that's when we have to learn to trust God, and that's when God can do something. In the times we have nothing. Look what she would have missed if she would have had enough oil in those pitchers. We look at this mother here. You'll notice she was a down-and-out mother. You'll notice that she was a distressed mother. You will notice that she was a discerning mother. She was a discerning mother. She was questioned about her inventory. The prophet said, "What do you have?" All she could say was just a little bit of oil. You know, she knew what she needed to do, though. And she knew who she needed to call upon. She didn't try to bear the burden herself. She went to the man of God. She went to the prophet. She didn't have much, but she had something. And she was willing to begin with what she had. Could I say to all of us this morning, you and I may not have much, but if we'll start with what we've got, God can bless it. We may not have a truckload of talents, a truckload of this, a truckload of that, but it's not how much we have. It's what God can do with a little that we have when it has His blessings. Let Him bless it. I've known many people down through the years, and I think of my mother and father-in-law. Here's an example of that. My father-in-law never made a lot of money. He worked hard all of his life. He worked at Brenner's until he retired. And my mother and father-in-law never had very much materially, but I've never known anybody to do as well when it's all said and done with how God took the little and blessed them. It seemed like they made it fine on the little. Why? Because it was dedicated to God. That's why. When we take what we are and our weakness and we dedicate it to God, God can take it and God can bless it. And I'll tell you, that little oil becomes much oil when God blesses it. I look here at this passage of Scripture. We notice something else. She had to assist before she could be assisted. She had to admit she didn't have much. She had to cooperate. She had to level with the truth before the Lord could do something. Now this, by the way, this kind of clashes against the modern day welfare system, doesn't it? Modern welfare system looks at all households and they say, you have nothing to begin with. So we'll just go ahead and dump everything on you and we'll send you that big check in the mail. I wish the government sometimes, it never will of course, only the government under Christ is going to do right anyway. But I wish the government could understand this thing of just giving people and giving people, assuming that everybody is broke. Well, why not create some initiative? Why not start assuming that they're not broke? Like somebody said, you can give a person a meal, a fish, meal of fish, and that'll get them through the day, but you teach a person how to fish, and that'll feed them for a lifetime. Here's a lady that had nothing. But she had to be willing to admit she had nothing. And then God's going to do something with what she does have. The prophet here just didn't come by and drop a big check on her house step. Her background, and I like the thought of this, and this does apply to all of you this morning, her background became a workshop in the hands of God to teach her valuable lessons on faith and trusting the Lord and seeing God work. Our background, our inability, our deficiency, our weakness, our poverty can be God's workshop to teach us great lessons on faith and trusting Him. Whereas we wouldn't learn those lessons if everything was going well. I'm glad that I grew up in a poor home in West Virginia, the more I think about it. I'm glad. I wouldn't want anything to change. Well, maybe a few things. I grew up at a time that we had nothing to eat but homemade light bread, and now I would to God I had it every day, and I very seldom ever get it. I grew up eating pinto beans, and I don't get enough of them now. I thought I had it bad. I had it better than what I realized all along. I look back at my background, and I've told you this many times, I grew up in a poor family, but I don't regret it at all. If I grew up in a family that had a lot, I might not be standing here this morning. I might be looking through prison bars somewhere, if not already in hell. My dad was the hardest worker I ever knew. He worked at everything to feed his family. He moved jobs constantly because work would give out. He was a coal miner. And a mine would close down or something would happen. My dad would move somewhere else. And he took up jobs everywhere he could to work, to feed his family. As I watched my dad work, God was using that to prepare me for my life later on. God was teaching me the work ethic. God was teaching me that it pays to work. God was teaching me that it doesn't hurt to sweat to work. My mother did a good job feeding us, 8 children, sewing our clothing, washing our clothes on a washboard. I remind you, 8 of us, 8 of us. I remember when my mother got the first modern washing machine that had a dryer on it. That consisted of, not a dryer, that had a wringer on it. Y'all remember those old washing machines had those wringers? And I can remember my mom catching her arm in that wringer one day and yelling like an Apache Indian. I thought she'd go lose her arm. But she was a good mom. We lacked in money, but we sure didn't lack in love and care. And she loved every one of us equally. She really did. Now, I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but I'll tell you one thing, I was taught principle even though it wasn't from church. I was taught principle. Now, I remember one time, we were in a poor family. I remember one time my mother took us to a place over in Parkersburg, West Virginia, and we went in a store. Now, imagine this. We had nothing to begin with. We went in the store and I just happened to look and over on the floor or on a seat was a big wad of money. You know what I did? I was just a kid. I didn't learn this in church. I was just a kid. But I went over, picked up that wad of money and turned it in at the counter. In fact, my mother got on me for that later. Because I figured the guy at the counter probably pocketed anyway. Who would ever find out who the owner was? But I'm simply saying all that to say this. Principle was there though. Working hard. Being honest. If you get something, you work for it. Nothing is free. I thank God today for my family. I'm glad I was poor. Because I think this, I think that God can take the little bit of oil. God can take the small things. God can take the poverty. God can take the difficult times. And He can use that as a workshop to train us for things that we're going to need later on in life. Now, my mom wasn't perfect. I heard a story one time of a little child looked at her mama. Said, "Mama, why do you have little strands of gray hair?" And the mother said, "Well, I'll tell you why. Every time you say something bad or every time you do anything wrong," she said, "one of my strands of hair turned gray." The little child looked at the mother and said, "Well, Mama, tell me what happened to Grandmother then." Could I say this morning that happiness is not based on things? Struggling is developmental. I've noticed, however, that sometimes the best parenting has no automatic guarantee that everything is always going to be right and children will always turn out the way that we expect. But guess what? We do what we have to do and we try to do everything right and it's up to God anyway. But I think of a text. I think of Isaiah chapter 5. Where the Bible says, I think of one passage that says, "He looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes." And sometimes families may have it together and do things right, but sometimes wild grapes still can show up. Now, we have to make individual choices. It comes down to that. We have to make individual choices. I'm coming to my last point. We're going to be done. I see that clock. This mother was delivered, though, and that's what I've been looking forward to getting to tell you about. This mother was delivered. She only had a little oil, but guess what? As I said, little is much when God gets in it. She was told to borrow those empty vessels, and she was also told to keep the miracle secret. I would also like to point out that the amount of her oil was determined by the amount of vessels that she borrowed. Had she have known that, well, her kids would still be out in the community right now borrowing vessels, probably, if they were living. This Mother's Day, as I close the service this morning, I want to challenge all of us, not just moms, but what about dads? What about sons? What about daughters? What about grandchildren? I want to challenge all of you today to consider something that is very important, and that's this. When it comes to being a good mother, when it comes to being a good dad, when it comes to being a good individual, let's start out by realizing we're not too good. There's none that doeth good. But you know what people need today more than anything else in their lives and in their homes? They need God. They need Christ. They need the grace of God. I don't see how any person today could get down to being a serious good parent. I mean good in the sense that God would look down and be pleased. I don't know how you could do it without God's help. I don't know how any person today could ever, with the pressures and the stresses of modern times, ever attempt to mother a child and to get through life without God's help. I don't know how. But I'll tell you, you can't beat mother's love, though, can you? You can't beat it. I look at my own mother, and I thank God she loved me. I heard of a traveler one day that went off to Africa. There had been a fire in the area. And I mean, the fire had ravaged the area. And the traveler walked up and saw what used to be a little brush pile. He saw something there. It looked like feathers. And he kicked it with his foot. He saw some movement. And it happened, and a little baby chick came out from under its mother. Its mother had died. Its mother had given its life, you might say, for its baby chick. And that little chick come out of that. I want to tell you this morning, that points out, and that brings a thought today to my mind, and that's this fact. I'm glad that Jesus took care of our sin debt. I would remind you today of Calvary. I would remind us all today of a Father's love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I would remind you that over 2,000 years ago, the blessed Lamb of God went to the cross of Calvary and bled and suffered and died and literally died that you and I could be free. He gave His life that we might have life. It's because of the Father's love, it's because of the grace of God that today you can have families that can know what a Christian home is all about. It's because of the grace of God. Last week, didn't we have some good services with Brother Racy preaching on the book of Jonah? He talked about the God of the second chance. I called my son, was talking to him yesterday, and he pointed out something to me. I hadn't heard it put quite in the way he put it, but he's true. He said, you know, the book of Jonah, he said, most people think the book of Jonah, the hero is Jonah, but the hero is not Jonah. The hero is a God of mercy that still loved those rotten, corrupt Assyrians to the point that God wanted them saved regardless of their rotten background. God's a hero, isn't He? Oh, I'm so thankful today that I can tell you that God loves you. I'm glad that I can tell you this morning that you can have the thing that really matters the most, namely salvation through the blood of the Lamb. And moms, we surely do love you, but I can tell you today, you need help to be a mother. You need His help. You're going to find yourself many times with nothing but just a little bit of oil. But you let God bless the little you have, and you'll see how God can turn that into great big blessings. Turn it over to the Lord. But start out this morning by turning your life over to the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer.